Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time for our Draft Outlook segment brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. Ryan, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing really well. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And, Ryan, we've talked a lot this week about some moves that have been made in the NFL ahead of the draft. And now that the 49ers have moved up to the number three overall pick, lots of people may be putting Mac Jones as the target for the 49ers. When you evaluate Mac Jones out of Alabama, what stands out to you and how likely do you think it is that maybe that's the route the 49ers go after this recent movement?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been talking up Mac Jones since late in the college football season, and mostly to sideways looks from media folks. They were having trouble understanding it. But I was just talking to folks in the league, and they were saying at the time, Mac, NFL teams like Mac Jones a lot, like top 10 like him. And this was back in late December. And you see Mac Jones playing, like, okay, this guy looks like a game manager. He's not particularly athletic. I always joke that he looks like a 40-year-old guy taking his kids to soccer practice. He doesn't look like a finely tuned athlete. And you stand him up next to Justin Fields, you stand him up next to Trevor Lawrence, and it's like looking at two different animals. But when you watch him play, he's incredibly consistent. He's incredibly smart. He knows where to go with the ball. He is rarely fooled. Yes, you can argue he played behind a fantastic offensive line. Yes, you can argue that he played with all those first-round picks at wide receiver. But here's the thing, so did Tua. And a year ago, no one was having that conversation about Tua. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be a top-five pick unless the hip is a concern. And I think we have to go with the physical appearance of Mac Jones and the goofiness that Mac Jones sometimes portrays when he's talking to the media. But the level at which he understands football and the things he's able to do, don't be fooled by the goofy smile. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan potentially loves a lot about his game. You could say he reminds you of Kirk Cousins a little bit in terms of the way he plays. He's better than Kirk Cousins. But don't forget, Kyle Shanahan desperately wanted Kirk Cousins after they parted ways in Washington. He wanted him out in San Francisco. He obviously didn't work out with Jimmy G. But that, to me, is an indication of maybe the direction they're leaning. They could very easily go with Justin Fields there or Trey Lance. But I think in terms of having a high floor and very few concerns about just busting, like an RG3, for example, who for various reasons didn't work out after year one in Washington where Kyle Shanahan was there, I think that Mac Jones makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think that's perfectly put. You know, the floor, you might feel better with him. Of course, I'm watching Justin Fields, and not just like stumbling and still running a 4.4, which, you know, it's great. It's not the most important thing about playing quarterback, but I'm also watching him throw the ball yesterday, and I feel like his ceiling, I don't know, I've been a big fan of Justin Fields for a while, but I feel like he's getting a little bit overlooked right now for what he could be in this league. Or am I off base on that, Ryan?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right from the perspective of the media seems to be overlooking them. But NFL teams, again, like the area scouts have been doing their work on all these guys for over a year, obviously. And then the GMs get involved later in the game. So I think sometimes when you hear comments in January about Mac Jones from GMs, they're not as in the weeds on these players as the area scouts are. And that sort of changes. And I think that's the process we're going through now. I think Justin Fields is a fantastic talent. And this is what I always say about him. Like, Mac Jones only has 17 career starts because of Tua, obviously. Justin Fields only played 2 years. And one of the years was the 2020 season, which was stop-start in the Big Ten. They started late. They were the COVID games that got pushed back. And he hasn't played a ton of football. And if you go back to the 2019 season, year two for Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence didn't start out great as a sophomore. There were some struggles, and to the point where we were concerned that, okay, maybe he isn't this perfect robotic out-of-the-laboratory quarterback. He does, in fact, have problems at times, but he overcame those in year three, and now we're no longer talking about it. And I think the thing with Justin Fields is once he gets to year three, which will be in the NFL, he will be a completely different player in terms of the experience, in terms of the ability to go through his progressions, in terms of the decision-making that he is right now. And you just have to understand that. The problem is, in today's NFL, when you're a top 15 pick, you're going to play right away. There's no room for you to sit on the bench, right or wrong. But I think certainly someone like Trey Lance, who only has 17 career starts at FCS level, someone like Justin Fields, if those guys had an opportunity to sit on the bench for a year or even 2 months, that would be great for their development. We'll see if it happens. But I think Justin Fields just confirmed with that pro day where he looked like he was throwing the football 150 miles an hour and with touch and accurately and can run the 4.4 that you mentioned. He's going to be a good player. I just think it's a matter of finding the right fit and and understanding it as a fan and even as someone in the front office that you have to be patient with some of these young players who aren't fully developed yet.
Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Ryan, it's interesting, like looking at the top part of this draft as far as the wide receivers are concerned. Ja'Marr Chase, a popular name, he's having his pro day at LSU right now. Devontae Smith, obviously winning the Heisman Trophy, and Jalen Waddle as well. When you look at those three players specifically, who do you like the most heading into the NFL between those three guys?
Ja'Marr Chase, I like just, and these guys are all tightly wound together here. But Ja'Marr Chase, even though he opted out, and you know sometimes we don't remember players who are insanely good only because they haven't played recently, and that sort of feels like Ja'Marr Chase. I think he'll change people's minds, or at least remind them today at his pro day. But he was the best skill position player on that 2019 LSU team that included Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Justin Jefferson, who had 1,400 yards last year for the Vikings. Joe Burrow obviously was the first overall pick and had a lot to do with that, but Ja'Marr Chase is special. He can play outside, he can play inside, he's incredibly strong at the catch point. I don't think he'll run a 4.4. He very well might, and that's great. But his game isn't necessarily just blowing past people, but he always finds ways to create separation. And he's so much stronger than he looks on paper. You watch him play, and then he's just manhandling people. He reminds me sort of a much faster version of Anquan Boldin, who's physicality. Devontae Smith is 170 pounds. He says that's what he plays at. That's what he weighed at his pro day a few weeks ago. That's what he is. And the issue, of course, is durability. But Devontae Smith's never been injured. He had a couple soft tissue injuries at Alabama early in his career, but that had nothing to do with the fact that he was slight of frame. Excuse me, I'm getting so excited talking about these receivers. And Jalen Waddle is an absolute burner. I think Jalen Waddle is better than Henry Ruggs was coming out last year. Henry Ruggs was the first wide receiver taken. He ran 4.27, I believe Henry did, at the combine. I don't think Jalen ran because he's still overcoming an ankle injury, but he's a four-down player because he gives you something to return a game. And when he came out there for the national championship game, he was hobbling around and still the fastest player on the team. So he is explosive. The issue is that the injury history, and he's 5'10", and you know we talked about Devontae's frame being slight. Jalen's not a bulked-up guy. He's going to be smaller, but you have to understand that. And if you find ways to use him, it's going to transform the way your offense works. So all three of those guys are top 12, top 15 picks to me. Just a matter of when the quarterbacks go and then when some of those offensive linemen go off the board will determine where the wide receivers is going.
So locally around here for the Titans at 22, a lot of interest, especially if they're signing a Bud Dupree, and maybe a receiver or a corner. I know one guy who was very good at his pro day was J.C. Horn. You got Caleb Farley with the back thing, which I don't know if that affects him in this draft or not. Patrick Surtain up there. You've got guys like Greg Newsome. How do you view the corner group? How would you tier it? And do you think a guy like a J.C. Horn could at this point be there for the Titans at 22?
Yeah, I don't know if J.C. Horn will make it that far. He is big. He's 6'1", I think, is what he came in at. He had a really good pro day. His dad's obviously Joe Horn. But more importantly, he had a fantastic season in South Carolina. He's extremely physical. He shut down Seth Williams, the wide receiver from Auburn, when they played during the fall. And Seth Williams is going to be playing on Sundays. So I'm not sure if he slips up far. But you mentioned Caleb Farley. That's going to be interesting. He was my cornerback one until the back injury popped up. It's the second time he's had that procedure. And I was talking to someone in the league about it, and they said, yeah, I'm very concerned about that because you're now going from a top 10 pick to how concerned are you about this back? It's happened before. Can you trust it? And is he going to fall into the bottom of the first round? Is he going to even fall to the second round? So NFL teams will have to figure out how much this impacts them personally, but I think it's going to have an impact certainly on where he lands. He's not no longer going top 10 to the Cowboys, for example. So he could be there. So then it becomes, okay, how do the Titans feel about Caleb Farley's back? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Because he's incredibly athletic, and he has a chance to be the best of this group. Patrick Surtain feels like the most sure thing. He's not quite the athlete, quote-unquote, as Caleb Farley, but he does so many things well. Greg Newsome had a fantastic season at Northwestern. He could be there around the 22 range. It'll be interesting for Greg Newsome. Tyson Campbell out of Georgia I'm higher on than most people, but I think he hit the point around two. Kelvin Joseph is a kid to watch out for from Kentucky, who also had a really good season. He transferred from LSU. And then there's Asante Samuel Jr., whose dad played for the Patriots for the longest time. He's undersized at 5'10", but he plays much bigger than that. He compared himself to J.R. Alexander, and I think that's actually a good comparison. So if you, as the Titans, want to move on from finding another edge rusher opposite Bud Dupree, then I think there are going to be two or three or four even cornerbacks there that you get at the bottom of the first round that you could roll out there immediately and make that defense better.
And, Ryan, last thing for you here, if they do stick with edge rusher, a guy that we've talked about a lot here on the show has been Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, and your latest mock draft at CBS Sports, that's who you've got the Titans taking at number 22. What stands out to you about Ojulari coming out of Georgia? What kind of a pro do you think he could be?
So the thing about this edge class, there's no Nick or Joey Bosa, there's no Chase Young. There are a lot of guys with huge upsides in terms of athleticism or strength or speed. Azeez Ojulari is the closest to a complete player at this point among this edge rush class. He's 249, but he plays much bigger than that. He's incredibly stout against the run. He has great pass rush moves. He uses hands really well. He's quick off the snap in terms of being a pass rusher. And he's the complete, as close to the complete package that you could have right now when some of these other guys are going to be projections. Quiddy Pay, I like a lot out of Michigan, but he's continuing to grow into this role. Jalen Phillips has an injury history. Greg Rousseau out of Miami also, he opted out last year, so you're sort of doing that projection, and he's a converted wide receiver. So there are guys that are all bottom of the first round talents. It's probably when they're going to go off the board, but I think Azeez Ojulari is the closest to the finished product. Can step in right away, and him off the Bud Dupree sounds like a recipe to, you know, double the incredibly low sack total that the Titans had last year, and that feels like a step in the right direction.
Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. Ryan, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Ryan Wilson, Ryan. You can check out his work at CBS Sports. And that was our Draft Outlook segment brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the draft for the Tennessee Titans. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and ask the question, what are the most important positions for the Titans to hit on in the late round of the draft? We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.